morning, everyone.
I just want to say, for everyone here, God has a special extra jewel in your heavenly crown. And you all know why. I hear that we're now in overtime, tied at 1-1. So if you're the praying kind, which I believe you are, maybe you can do something about that. Anyways, there are a number of announcements happening today. So those of you with announcements, come on up and we'll get going. While they're coming up, I would like to draw your attention to the shared Wednesday evening services between the churches in Old South. Like we did last year, we're also doing a pray in different traditions. So the United Church is doing a jazz vespers. There are fun things all over the Old South area. And it will culminate here at St. James on Good Friday, where last year we had about 200 people come for Good Friday. It was stunning. And Pastor Wallace from the Lutheran Church will be preaching that service here. So if you can, on Wednesday evenings, and you're curious about how they do things in the Lutheran world, go check it out.
Just a reminder, there's been some emails that have gone out, and I don't know if you've seen them, regarding the friendship meals that are happening this year between the end of Easter weekend and the start of Mother's Day weekend. So in that month there. The host can choose lunch, brunch, or dinner on any day of the week, and guests will be able to sign up starting next Sunday, March the 1st. The sign-up sheets are in the Great Hall on the West bulletin board. And I need a few more hosts to sign up before we can see where we're at with numbers and the guests can choose to go by time. At that point, the hosts will contact the guests that are aligned with their names and give details and talk about the address and anything they are asked to bring. The hosts are going to be doing the main entree for sure, and then we'll go from there. Also allergies, things like that. So please keep this in mind. Tell your friends, people who aren't often at church or don't read their emails. We especially like to encourage families that are new to the parish and have this time of fellowship to get to know each other in a quiet, intimate setting, very laid back and comfortable. It's a great way to kick off our spring and continue Easter festivities. Thank you.
Hello. If you don't know me, my name's Pam Hill. I see some faces I don't know, so I thought I would say that. I'm sharing an invitation from the Old Northeast Neighborhood Association. They are hosting a Kairos blanket exercise workshop this coming Wednesday evening from 6 until 9 p.m. at St. Lawrence Presbyterian Church on Huron Street. It's being facilitated by Marianne Catchigo and Tracy Whiteye, who are two local Indigenous knowledge keepers that are just fabulous teachers. There's a QR code here and another way to contact, and for some reason I cannot move this poster anywhere. So if you're interested, come and see me and I'll share the information with you about how to sign up. The Kairos blanket exercise, by the way, is an embodied way to experience what happened in Canada on Turtle Island as the land was colonized, and it's very powerful. We had one here in our parish hall 7-8 years ago. Definitely even worth repeating if it's something that you did then, because we know a whole lot more now. Anyway, come and see me if you'd like to know more.
Well, with that, we'll begin to prepare for worship.
Thank you.
Well, good morning. Here we are beginning our journey into the long season of Lent. And if you look around, you can see that Anne and Michael and all of the beautiful hangings and this cloth are all purple for the season of Lent. So we're in purple time here. Now, we're gathered around this kind of spiral. And look how it goes round and round and round and round. Usually when we journey, we think about going from here to there, or here to there, or here to there, but we are going to go around and around and around, deeper and deeper and deeper into the very heart of God. Wouldn't it be cool if we could walk around this? But we're kind of big, aren't we? So we are going to have little friends. Would you like to take one? And Anne and Michael should have one as well.
Yes.
And Laura, maybe you can hand them out to everybody else. So these little friends are going to represent all of us on our journey deeper into the heart of God. So this is where we're going to start today. So how about I invite you to all put your little people on the pathway as we learn and journey and pray together and do wonderful things for God. Now, we're going to light a candle as we say a prayer together, and Teddy is going to help by lighting this candle for us today. So why don't you do that? We'll take a moment while he lights the candle. Yeah. So this is lighting our way, just the one. We're going to add one every week, okay? Because the further we get on our journey into the heart of God, the more light we're going to need, right? Okay, so this is a repeat after me prayer for everybody. Holy God,
Holy God,
shine your light to guide our feet.
Shine your light to guide our feet.
Show your love to all we meet.
Show your love to all we meet.
As we journey together and follow your way.
As we journey together and follow your way.
May we grow closer to you each day.
May you
grow close to you each day. We all say together, Amen.
Let us pray. Almighty God, whose Son fasted 40 days in the wilderness and was tempted as we are, but did not sin, give us grace to discipline ourselves in submission to your Spirit, that as you know our weakness, so we may know your power to save. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the proclamation of Holy Scripture.
A reading from the book of Genesis. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You may freely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall die." Now the serpent was more crafty than any other wild animal that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God say you shall not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, nor shall you touch it, or you shall die.'" But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Happy are they whose transgressions are forgiven, and whose sin is put away.
Happy are they to whom the Lord imputes no guilt, and in whose spirit there is no harm.
While I held my tongue, my bones withered away, because of my groaning all day long.
For your hand was heavy upon me day and night. My moisture was dried up as in the heat of summer.
Then I acknowledged my sin to you, and did not conceal my guilt.
I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. Then you forgave me the guilt of my sin.
Therefore all the faithful will make their prayer to you in time of trouble.
When the great waters overflow, they shall not reach them.
You are my hiding place. You preserve me from trouble. You surrounded me with shouts of deliverance.
I will instruct you to teach you your way.
Glad you righteous, and rejoice in the Lord. Shout for joy, all who are true of heart.
Praise to you, O Christ, King of eternal glory. Praise to you, O Christ, King of eternal glory.
Praise to you, O Christ, King of eternal glory. Praise to you, O Christ, King of eternal glory.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But Jesus answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are not the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." And Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all of the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil left him, And suddenly angels came and waited on him. The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
May the words of my lips and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. For those of you dying to know, according to my phone, it is still 1-1 in overtime. And I was up all night trying to figure out how to tie in hockey with today's sermon. And I didn't. So I will give you an update at the end of my sermon, and that's about what I can do. But I wanted to talk to you a little bit about poetry. Poetry is something that is profound and beautiful and powerful. It has a way of expressing language and thought and feeling in a way that prose just can't. And I wanted to reflect a little bit with you on the difference between English poetry and Jewish poetry. In English, we rhyme words like cat and hat and bat, but it doesn't work that way in Hebrew. Hebrew poetry involves a repetition of ideas, and you can see it throughout the Psalms. If you look, it says one thing, and then it says exactly the same thing in a slightly different way. On Psalm 32 today, the first two verses are, "Happy are they whose transgressions are forgiven and whose sin is put away." The next verse, "Happy are they whom the Lord imputes no guilt and in whose spirit there is no guile." It's the same thing, but it's parallel. And in that parallel, in that tension, in that reflection of saying the same things in different ways, the Hebrew mind, the Hebrew language found great beauty and great meaning. And you can find it throughout Scripture. And so for a person in the first century, looking at how they shaped the world, parallelism became a very powerful and important thing. And today we read one of the most important and transformational parallelisms in the Christian religion. We compare the Garden of Eden to Jesus' time in the wilderness. That temptation you see in both ways. You see that Eve was tempted to put herself in the place of God. God said this, but I know a little better. And Jesus is tempted as well. He's tempted, but in his temptation, he reflects a slightly different variation of it. He says, no, don't put the Lord your God to the test. The parallel to the early church mind would have increased from there. You have the tree at the Garden of Eden, and you have the wooden cross made from a tree. The fruit that Eve eat, whether it's an apple or a pomegranate or what have you, we don't know. But that brought about the knowledge of good and evil. The tree that is the cross bears the fruit of Jesus. And in our Eucharistic service, we eat the flesh and blood of Jesus that gives us knowledge of good and evil. There's a strong parallelism there. Jesus said, I did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. And so in holding these two stories, these two ideas in parallel, we begin to see some resonance and some beauty. The early Christian, and perhaps us as well, sees a unique parallel between Adam and Jesus. Paul, in his letters, writes that Jesus is the second Adam. And in a hidden piece of theology in the Anglican world, there's a prayer that's sung at the Easter Vigil called the Exaltat. And one of the lines in it is, O happy fault, O necessary sin of Adam, that won for us so great a Savior. The idea of it is, aren't we lucky that Adam and Eve ate from that apple and destroyed paradise? Because they did that, we get Jesus. And Jesus' gift to us is more beautiful and more transformational than the original plan. But the parallel and the truth of the matter that we read in both of these readings comes to temptation. All of us face temptation. And usually it comes from an excess of wanting to do the right thing. We care about the hockey game, so some of us might be scrolling on our phone at this very minute instead of listening to a sermon. I saw some eyes roll when I got that one. But there's a desire. We care about the sports. We care about the things that we do, and we want them to be best. And the sin is we think we know best. Lent is a time where we engage in spiritual disciplines that sometimes we don't live up to. We don't always succeed in our ability to give up fast food for the next 40 days, or whatever it is. It reminds us that we are not God, and that we need God in ways that from time to time are crystal clear, and in other ways are obscure and hard to know. We compare Eve and Adam, who thought they knew what was right and what was good and what was best. And we contrast them with Jesus, who at the Garden of Gethsemane says, "Lord, take this cup from me, but not my will, but thine be done." It's hard. It is hard to let God be God. It is hard to say, well, if the United States wins the hockey game, it's fine. Yeah. But God is God. God's plan is better than the best plan that we could come up with on our own. And that's not always a satisfying answer when we're dealing with a health concern or the death of a loved one or any of the other things that happen in this life. It's not easy to say that God's plan is better than the way that I would have it done, the way that I want it. And yet we reflect on Jesus, who is tempted to fix the problems that he could have. Eat the bread, get down from a high mountain. We're tempted to think we can fix it all. And in our modern society, with the technology that we have, with the power and control we can exert over creation, in many ways we can. And yet, God is still God. And God's plans are better than the plans that we could come up with ourselves. And so as we take today the story of the Garden of Eden, a fairy tale that we often reserve for kids, and the story of Jesus, we reflect into the future our own stories. And when those times come that we want to control and we want force to bend to our wills, may we remember Jesus' words, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And if we are able to truly believe and trust God is doing something great, God's plan is infinitely more beautiful, infinitely more graceful, infinitely better than anything we could ask or imagine. Amen. Congregation, please stand. Let us confess the faith of our baptism as we say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And I just heard that the United States scored a goal. God's will be done. I just preached a sermon on this. Please assume a position of prayer for the prayers of the people.
The response to the prayers of the people this morning. Lord, with your grace, hear our prayer. Holy One, as we wander in the desert season of Lent, we ask that you help each of us to keep our focus on you as our companion and our guide. There are many distractions around us in our lives, and many temptations that give us anxiety. We can become confused and rely on old ways of coping. We ask that you help us to take on your perspective and clarity as we journey through Lent. Help us simplify our lives for this journey in whatever ways will enrich and sustain our focus on you. Lord, with your grace, hear our prayer. Holy One, thank you for our clergy, Michael, Anne, Jerry, and for all those who volunteer their time and talents in our parish, our deanery, and our diocese. We ask that you bless them and sustain them through these coming weeks. Lord, with your grace, hear our prayer. Holy One, this Lenten journey through the desert, the wilderness, mirrors our current times of upheaval and uncertainty in many ways. We pray for all those in positions of authority and leadership in Canada and around the world, those whose decisions and actions have such profound effect. We pray for our Prime Minister and for all leaders that they will demonstrate grace and the ability to steer us through these times of anxiety. We pray also for Indigenous communities here on Turtle Island, in Greenland, and around the world. Help us learn how to be meaningful allies, and help us listen to and learn from our Indigenous neighbors. May we all support one another in a Lenten journey of hope through these challenges we all are facing. We pray for those people living in war-torn countries. We pray for people living in London and Wortley Village, those who are precariously housed or homeless, those dealing with food insecurities, those facing physical and mental health challenges. Each of us is struggling with our own issues that others may not notice or understand. We ask that you help us replace fear with hope and compassion. Lord, with your grace, hear our prayer. Holy One, in our church community, we particularly pray for Curtis, Terry, Cheryl, Lynn, Mary, Donnie, Brian, Barry and Pauline, Arnold and Marilyn, Charles and family, Imelda, Marty, Dave, Aaron, and baby Mercy Grace. Lord, with your grace, hear our prayer. Holy One, we remember those who have died and those who are near death, praying that your presence and reassurance is felt during these times. Lord, with your grace, hear our prayer. Holy One, thank you for hearing our prayers and being with us on our individual and our collective Lenten journey. We pray that you sustain us. Lord, with your grace, Hear our prayer. Amen.
My dear friends in Christ, God is steadfast in love and infinite in mercy. God welcomes sinners and invites them to this table. Let us confess our sins, confident in God's forgiveness. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. We have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please stand. After his death and resurrection, our Lord Jesus Christ appeared to his disciples. He said to them, "My peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you. Let us share Christ's peace with one another. The peace of the Lord be always with you."
Thank you. God, our refuge and our strength, receive all we offer you this day, and through the death and resurrection of your Son, transform us to his likeness. We ask this in his name. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Blessed are you, gracious God, creator of heaven and earth, because you bid your faithful people to cleanse their hearts and to prepare with joy for the Paschal feast, that reborn through the waters of baptism and renewed in the Eucharistic mystery, we may be more fervent in prayer and more generous in the works of love. Therefore, we raise our voices to you in praise to proclaim the glory of your name. We give thanks to you, Lord our God, for the goodness and love you have made known to us in creation, in calling Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all, in the word made flesh, Jesus, your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, a death he freely accepted, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, Father, according to his command,
we remember his death, we proclaim his resurrection, we await his coming to glory.
And we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we, made acceptable in him, may be sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, reconcile all things in Christ and make them new, and bring us to that city of light where you dwell with all your children, through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to pray. We break this bread. Let your church be the wheat which bears its fruit in dying.
If we die with him, we shall live with him. If we hold firm, we shall reign with him.
The gifts of God for the people of God.
He will raise you up on eagle's wings, bear you on the break of dawn, make you to shine like the sun, and hold you in the palm of his hand.
Ah.
Let us stand and continue in prayer. Faithful God, in this holy bread you increase our faith and hope and love. Lead us in the path of Christ, who is your word of life. We ask this in his name. Amen. Glory to God.
Glory to God.
May the God of mercy transform you by his grace, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. My friends, let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks, everybody, for so much.